So we have a guest speaker today. His name is Pastor Blake. I'm sure most of you know him. Could we give him a hand as he comes up?
Check, check, check. Thank you, Rachel. Well, it is, I always say this. It is always, always, always a privilege to preach the word. I never take it for granted, but it is especially just special to be back here and to see so many amazing faces and just so much love and good stuff happened here. And so I'm just grateful to be back and able to share the word with you this morning. If you want to, just flip over in your Bible to John chapter 5. I'm just going to pray as we get going here. That's where we're going to park. John chapter 5. I'm just going to pray and then we'll read the word. Lord, thanks so much for this opportunity that we have to come into your house, into your presence, God, and look and gaze into your word. God, I pray that as we do this, that we would see you more clearly, that we would see ourselves more clearly, that we would see Jesus lifted up and exalted as we ought to, God. God, I pray that it would be powerful and profitable for us and that we might look just a little bit more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. So John chapter 5, I'm just going to read a few verses, and then we're going to unpack. This is an amazing story. It is not an uncommon occurrence in the Gospels, but for me, it never gets old. There's a lot of stories in the Gospels that have similar undertones and similar things. Jesus heals somebody, and something awesome happens. But I just get so much faith and excited from that because to me, it reveals the person of Jesus Christ. We know that the Holy Spirit has empowered us and has given us some of those same gifts. And so we are supposed to be walking in those gifts today. The reason I get excited is because I really believe that what the word talks about and what the Acts, the early church walked in, I really believe, and I think you do too, that we need to walk in that we should be praying for those things, that ultimately the signs and wonders should follow them that believe. And so I really believe that the signs and wonders are not supposed to be a sideshow, but are supposed to be just evidence of what Jesus is doing and how he is working. So let's read the word. John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there's a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has a 5 roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now this was the Sabbath. So this is an amazing story. Here there is this man who is lame. And the word clearly tells us that it is called Bethesda, which means the house of mercy in Aramaic. So there is, when I was studying and looking at this text, this is obviously a thing that actually happened. Jesus actually healed this guy. And this is an amazing story that happened. But what I'm looking at today is just a little bit of the idea of our culture sort of being in this story, parallel with this story, and the opportunity that we have to be healed. I think that we would all agree that if we were to break down what our job as Christians is to be, I think we would all by and large agree that our job as Christians is to lift up and exalt Jesus in such a way that many people would come to know him, love him, and ultimately be healed by him and gain eternal life. Do you agree with that? I think that's pretty clearly what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to lift up and exalt Jesus in a way that sees transformation happen, in a way that sees lives changed. So it says very clearly in verse 3 that in this place there lay a multitude of people who had many infirmities. They were blind, they were lame, they were paralyzed. The guy that Jesus healed, it says he was there for 38 years. So can you imagine the desperation, the hopelessness, the even the despair that comes from having that infirmity in your body for that long, not being able to walk, and the despair that comes with that. Now, just as a side note, some of you might be wondering if you were reading in the NIV why I skipped verse 4. I'm reading from the ESV. It has a side note that says, and I'll just get into this briefly so as not to get distracted, but in my footnote it says, it adds this verse, "For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred the water. Whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was healed of whatever disease he had." Now that verse isn't in the ESV and some standard versions because they tend to admit verses that were not in earlier manuscripts. So they go by the earliest manuscripts, and so that's why you may be wondering that is in there. However, we do know that it is clear from the guy's response in verse 7 that there was something going on with the pool. There was something there. There was something, because he responds, "I've no one to put me into the pool." So we're not really too clear on whether, it would not be outside of course, biblical scripture for people to be healed in various ways, right? Jesus spit in a guy's eye. Someone in the Old Testament was healed by being near to Elisha's bones. There's a lot of kind of irregular healings that happen under the power of God in both the Old and the New Testament. But that's not really the point. The point isn't the pool. The point is Jesus. And so what I want to talk just for a brief few moments this morning is just about our witness. How can we get people by and large to the place where they are asking the same question that Jesus asked this person? He asks him in verse 6, "Do you want to be healed?" Now that is a response, a question that begs a response. That is the altar call question. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to receive Jesus? Do you want to receive healing today? And then a response comes. So I want to just dig a bit deeper for a few moments and try to get to the place where we ask ourselves, how can we be more faithful witnesses for Jesus in our everyday life? So that, like I said, Jesus is lifted up and exalted and therefore attractive to a lost and dying world. You see, the culture that we live in, even in Terrace, is very much like this colonnade, this Bethsaida. They are crying out for mercy. They have all kind of infirmities. They're lost, sick, and dying, and do not know that they are in great need of Savior Jesus. And so how can we make a difference in the culture? Well, the first thing I think we can do to be more faithful witnesses of Jesus Christ and herald him and exalt him and lift him up, if you're taking notes, is the first point, that we live with the compassion of Christ. That we live with the compassion of Christ. By doing three things. Having compassion in three areas. By looking, by listening, and ultimately by loving. You see, This man had been there for 38 years. That means that thousands upon thousands of people had walked by him, had not offered him anything, had not offered him hope. At least he's in this place, maybe where he can get some care and be near to others that are infirm. But so many people seemed to ignored, or of course, perhaps were unable to really make a difference and do anything until Jesus showed up. You see, I strongly believe, church, that Jesus has given us, by his Holy Spirit, the same abilities that he had. That's what the Acts 2 church, that's what it means to be Pentecostal, that we walk in the gifts of the Spirit. They're not all the same. We don't have all the same gifts, but we, it says that we're in the word very clear that we're to earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit, that that's something that we're supposed to seek. And so I believe that when this invalid who's 38 years, he's been sitting there, and all of a sudden Jesus shows up. All of a sudden Jesus walks into the situation and he's lying there. He's been lying there for a long time. Now, the other thing about the lost and dying culture is that they're on a spectrum, okay? The lost and dying culture, every single person that you know that does not know Jesus is on a spectrum between hope and despair. And that's a wide spectrum. Despair is the bottom, hope is the top. And they're somewhere, kind of a generalization, but somewhere on that spectrum. And so today that's what we're talking about. How do we bring people effectively from despair unto hope in Jesus Christ? How do we do that? Well, like I said, we're to live, firstly, with the compassion of Christ by looking, listening, and loving. Jesus had compassion on this guy. Jesus had mercy on this guy. And I'm sure that he healed many, many people even that day, but this is the one that is recorded for us. He had compassion. He had mercy on him. He was moved to do something. Just earlier in the book of John, you had Jesus' first sign in John chapter 2, when he changes water into wine, it's the first sign, the first miracle that he does. And there's this hesitancy by Jesus when he says that it's not my time yet. It's not my time. So here, this is shortly thereafter, early on, I'm saying, in his ministry. And so there was this hesitancy before to work and to move. And here, Jesus is moved unto mercy, moved unto compassion, and moved to action to change this guy's situation, to bring him from a place of despair and bring him into a place where he now has hope. So I would just say that practically, sometimes in our lives, we can ignore those that need our help. We can, by and large, walk by people that we could at least give a cup of a cold water to in Jesus' name, or a meal or whatever. We often miss opportunities, and some of us don't. Some of us are very good and have gifts of mercy and are good at reaching out to the people that need our help. But that's the first thing. That's why I said looking, by looking. Because if we're not looking, then we will just miss opportunities. We will not see. We'll be too busy. We'll be even too busy maybe doing good stuff. But we can still miss opportunities that Jesus might just want to use us for his glory to transform someone's life, to make them whole, and to bring them from a place of despair to hope. That he can use you and me to do that. Because it's ultimately not about you and me. We know that. I've said multiple times from this very pulpit, it's not about you and me. Our job is not to save people. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He's been doing it better than anyone. He's the one that draws people. He's the one that plants the seed. He's the one that does the work. We're just supposed to be faithful to that which God has clearly called us to be faithful. So by looking, by listening, and by loving. So to have our eyes open as Christians as we walk, even just in terrace. To have our eyes open to the needs. And to do something. To do something today. to not wait. So many times I think we can have a mentality of, oh yeah, I could help that person, but you know, that's really the Salvation Army's job. They're really good at that. Or I could probably help that person, I could probably give them a meal, but you know, I got other things to do. I got to go to a church meeting. You know what? Sometimes we get distracted by really good things. So we need to have our eyes open. We need to listen. We need to listen. I'm sure Jesus took time. We don't have the whole conversation here, but it's possible that Jesus took the time to hear his story, to really find out what it was all about, who he was as a person, to have compassion and then to love, to share the love of Christ. So again, looking, listening, and loving. That's how we have compassion practically. In Terrace, we can make a huge difference if we do that. So firstly was living with the compassion of Christ. The second thing that we can do to become more faithful witnesses on the ground in Terrace to exalt Christ, to bring people from hope, from despair to hope, is to not get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked or distracted by the sideshow. I'm going to say that again. Don't get sidetracked or distracted by the sideshow. What do I mean by that? I can see you all looking at me like, what does he mean by that? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you. What I mean by that is the pool. The pool in this case, we don't know. We're not told. Like I said, that's not the point of the story. I'm not going to go into depth there. But the pool, there was obviously something going on there, whether true or not, because it seems that maybe some people had been healed by the stirring of the waters. And we noted that the response of the man is, I can't get down to this pool. So he's still looking to the pool for his salvation. He's still looking at the pool when Jesus is standing right there. So often, Jesus wants to do something powerful, but we get distracted. So the sideshow in our culture is virtually anything, this is pretty general, but anything that can distract you from the true mission that God has you to do. And I would say to walk in obedience, moment by moment obedience. When God calls you to pray for someone, distraction comes. Do you do it or do you not? God calls you to pray for someone so that they might receive healing. Distraction might come. Oh, I don't want to be seen in public. I don't want to. It's embarrassing. What if they don't get healed right here? What if their arm doesn't grow back? We can get distracted by a great many things. And then I don't want to rail on any one particular person, but I think so I'll just rail on all of them. But the sideshow with the North American church is massive. The sideshow is I don't know if I should go there, but the televangelist sideshow, right? That is portrayed as what Christianity is about. And that's why, by and large, the world is so scared of Pentecostals, of walking in the Spirit, because it's been such a shy sideshow to this point. They only see the bad. They only see that which is not really the real. They see a lot of men that are out for their own glory and their own TV ratings and their own money and are not doing the will of God but claim to be. So it's just such my heart that we don't get distracted by the fake, but that we press into God for the real. Because the real happens in everyday life. The real happens when you're working and your coworker is pouring out their heart to you because you're listening and you're looking and they're pouring out their heart to you and they mention a physical ailment and the Holy Spirit is nudging you to pray for them. Do you want to? I don't know. Is it going to be scary? Maybe. But that's the real. They might not get healed then. They might not. It might take a while, but God will work in their life. Even if they don't get healed, they will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is someone there that clearly cares about them enough to introduce Jesus, to introduce another option, to introduce the option when it comes to moving you from a place of despair to a place of hope. You and I can do that. You and I are called to do that. And so many times we get distracted by the sideshow. If that guy would have continued to berate Jesus about the pool and go on about the pool, Jesus just surpassed the pool. He's like, it's not about the pool today. I'm just going to heal you. I am the living water. But church, let's not get distracted by the sideshow. We need to focus on Jesus. That's why I said at the beginning, the whole point of being a Christian is to lift up and exalt the name of Jesus, the person of Jesus, the power of Jesus unto salvation, so that we might be saved and so that we might take as many people with us as possible, that they might know the good news, the hope that is in Jesus Christ. Because, and I've said this so many times from this pulpit too, that we're just not saved for ourselves. We're not saved for just ourselves. God is not content with just you. Yes, he loves you, but he wants everyone out there. He's willing that all would come to repentance and the knowledge of Jesus. Jesus asks this man, do you want to be healed? I said that's the response question. And so another thing that we can do in our, and this is leading into the third point, actually, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. So with the sideshow, we need to be, not get distracted, because we know that this is what we miss. This is what we miss if we get distracted by the sideshow. We miss the fact that Jesus is present right now. We miss that Jesus wants to do something right now. We pass up every day Holy Spirit moments where Jesus wants to intersect someone's life because we get distracted by the sideshow. So number three, how can we be a better witness? We need to ask the question. We need to offer hope. Jesus asked the guy the question, the response question. Do you want to get healed? Do you want to be healed? The guy could have said no. And remember what I said about our culture on that spectrum from despair to hope. If you get to a place of all-out despair, you might not even be in a place where you can say, yes, I want to be healed. You might not even think it's possible. Most of the people that don't know Jesus don't know they need Jesus. They need you to come and show them, to tell them, to be in relationship with them, and to offer hope. It takes guts to do this third part. It takes guts to do every part of this, but it takes guts to bring people to the place where we're asking them, because we've gave them our spiel. We've hopefully shared with them what our story is, because that's usually very personal and helps. But when it comes to the crux of the matter, we need to ask the question, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to meet Jesus today? Do you want to meet Jesus today? We have that opportunity. We have everything that we need. God has given us everything that we need to be faithful witnesses of Jesus Christ right where we are in Terrace, with the power of the Holy Spirit. So we need to bring people to a place. And ultimately, you know what? This won't be that hard if we're already living the life that is revealing Jesus, that is showing Jesus, that is exalting Jesus in such a way that makes him look immensely attractive to a lost and dying world that needs to know about him. will do this naturally. But when it comes down to it, we need to offer the hope and we need to ask the question. So many times we might share a story with people, we might share the gospel with them, but if we don't ask them if they want to respond to it, and we don't need to do this every time maybe, we need to be sensitive to the Spirit in that too. We're not just trying to beat people over the head with the Bible, anything like that. But we do need to lead people into a place to ask them this question. Do you want to be moved from despair to hope today? Because Jesus wants you to. Jesus wants you to be made whole. You think of this guy, his life was completely different. He is now walking. He's now walking. 38 years of sitting on the ground, of looking up at people, of, I'm sure, being in a desperate place of despair. And now he's walking because Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up. And that's what it means to be a witness of Christ. Jesus showing up in your workplace, wherever you are, because you showed up. That's as simple as it gets. The opportunities all stem from there, of you being there in their lives, in relationship, by showing up and by already having that relationship with Jesus that we obviously want to offer to others. So we need to offer hope. I'm going to begin wrapping up in just a couple minutes, but I want us to note, it's not another point necessarily, but I want us to note the reaction of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were basically the ancient day clergy. And this is another one of the risks that we run in the church. If we're too concerned about our programs, if we're too concerned about our religion, if we're too concerned about any number of things, we can miss the fact that this guy was just brought from despair to hope, that he is now walking, and miss that. Like, it seems incredulous. How could they miss it? How could they be more concerned with the fact that it's the Sabbath? Who cares? This guy has just been healed. But that's what religion does. It does not bring life, but brings death. And Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And so, systematically, we need to, in all of our churches, systematically try and rid ourselves of religion. Because religion does not bring people into relationship with God. It is more often has a deadening effect to our witness and does not bring people to a place of hope and of life. And so we need to be with our eyes wide open, looking, listening, and loving a world that desperately needs to hear about Jesus. We can't hide this to ourselves, church. You know what happens if we try that? The disciples tried. They tried to stay in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, okay, if you're going to stay in Jerusalem, then I'm going to bring persecution and scatter you all over Asia Minor so that everyone will know Jesus. You see, if we don't walk in the faithfulness that we need to in terms of our witness for Christ, God will move us from our comfortable pews into a position of dependence on him, and so that we might be faithful witnesses. He will do it. We can't get too comfortable. I love what Francis Chan says in the book Crazy Love, and I've said this before too, or I think it's a Forgotten God actually, that he says that why would God send a comforter The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, if we're just supposed to be comfortable. We're not supposed to be comfortable, church. We're supposed to be a motivated bunch on mission for Jesus, living every day with the power of the Holy Spirit making a difference. Because standing in the gap is the person who has been sick, lost, and dying for 38 years. And it just might be today that God is calling you to pray for him and he will walk. Signs and wonders follow them that believe. It's not the sideshow, church. It's the real show. It's the evidence that the Holy Spirit is working, that the Holy Spirit is moving, that the Holy Spirit is doing things. And so we need to be faithful to the cause of Christ. Let me just say that I am so excited to and passionate about this because I think that we're living, we all know the times that we're living in are interesting to say the least. But never before have we lived in such a time where there is such an obvious and desperate need for a church on mission that knows who they are and has and goes and walks in the power of the Spirit. Ultimately, friends, it's not about a bunch of programs. It's not about purpose-driven life. It's not about all these things, great as they are. The Purpose-Driven Life is a great book, by the way. But all these curriculums, it's not about that. It's not about that. Ultimately, it's about a mobilized church. The Acts church was a house church. It's about you and your small groups, in your circle of influence, of the people that you're walking with, the people that you're already in relationship with. Those are the people that you're going to bring to that question. Do you want to get healed today? Do you want to meet Jesus today? That's the church. Too often we think of the church as what we do here. And it's a bit of a travesty sometimes that all our resources go to basically 2 hours on a Sunday by and large. All our hydro, lights, everything to keep the lights on here for that 2 hours when God is way more concerned about all of the other time when we're not here. Because the presence of God goes with us. And I don't have to say that to this church because you're Pentecostal. I'm from WAPS. They're Pentecostal too. I preach this message almost a similar message in the E-Free Church. Signs and wonders. I believe God calls us to this because he's empowered us by his Spirit exactly for this time. So just a reminder again, how do we be faithful and effective witness? We need to live with the compassion of Christ by looking, listening, and loving. Secondly, we can't get distracted by the sideshow, which is the pool, because Jesus is present right now. He wants to do something right now. And thirdly, we need to ask the question. We need to offer hope. Our evangelism needs to lead somewhere. And ultimately, we need to get rid of our religion and be a church on mission. I know you guys are all already in relationships with many people who need Jesus. And that is your mission. That's the mission. Love those people. Listen to them. Have compassion. Let's pray. Invite the band to come. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your word this morning. God, I pray that we would be just encouraged by it, God. God, I pray that we would come to a place, God, where we would believe this to be true in such a way that we ask you, God, to give us these kind of missions, that we might pray for somebody in Terrace and they might get healed of a physical infirmity. God, I just pray that we would be faithful witnesses of you, God, in our words, in our speech, and in our actions, God. God, I pray that we would just lift up and exalt you in such a way, God, that people would see you and see that they need you, God. That Jesus would be so attractive to them as the only way to have eternal life, as the only way unto salvation. God, I pray that for TPA, God, as she's in transition, God, that you would just continue to drive the bus, that you'd continue to drive the ship, God, that they would look to you for all the answers. God, I pray that they would just strive to be faithful witnesses of you. It doesn't matter if you even have a pastor at this exact moment, because you have Jesus and he's your senior pastor. God, would this not be a time of complacency, but a time of action? A time when people would begin to walk in the fruits of the Spirit in everyday life. God, you've called us to this. You've given us your Spirit as empowerment. You've given us everything that we need. Please help us, God, to declare you faithfully, to lift you up as we ought, so that many, many people here in Terrace would come to know you, come to the saving knowledge of hope in Jesus Christ, that we would bring many people from despair to hope because of you, because you're present, because that's what you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.